Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service of public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on caffeine when we come back. Charles Lyell, one of the pillars of modern geology, published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s. Lyell's concepts are so widely accepted today that most who believe them don't even know who it was that originated these ideas. But it's from Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins was devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes back through time indefinitely. Catastrophes like Noah's flood then could be strictly ruled out, and this process is called science. Well, listen to this. The sun is shrinking. That was a Newswire report. It was made back in 1980, and it made a surprising statement. The sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 0.1% per century. Now, scientists have been watching the sun for over 100 years and measuring it carefully, and the evidence is now conclusive. Every hour, the sun is shrinking by about 5 feet. Now, if the sun is shrinking 0.1% per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. And if the sun existed only 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. Then if we count back 20 million years ago, the surface of the sun would be touching the Earth in its orbit, 93 million miles away. And as far as researchers can tell, this rate of shrinkage has been consistent since the origin of the sun. Now, do you remember what our teachers taught us about the dinosaurs' extinction? They taught us that the dinosaurs became extinct 65 million years ago. But 20 million years ago, measuring the sun's shrinkage today, the sun would have been 93 million miles in diameter. It would have been at the orbit of the Earth. Now, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do the math on these kinds of pseudoscientific lies. And it's just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the guise of science. And it's one of the many lessons that we teach here in our Mosaic Law School, conducted twice a year here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about caffeine. The book is called Caffeine Blues. We have just covered in this series of programs from this one book two blockbuster pieces of information. Let me recite them to you. Number one. If you drink coffee, if you drink caffeine, if you consume caffeine in large doses, it will affect your sperm count, and you'll have 83% females, if you're a man now, you're 83% female offspring and 17% male offspring if you consume caffeine in excess. Now, that was a blockbuster study. Second thing we learned was that caffeine penetrates or goes through the placenta barrier and destroys the pancreas cells of the fetus in the womb, and there's no warning on a coffee can or on a can of soda pop. There is on a can of beer now, but not on the soda pop. Now, there's another blockbuster piece of information in the book that deals with your adrenal gland, adrenals. These adrenal glands contribute or control the production of about 150 hormones. Now, number one, I didn't even know how many hormones were running around in my body. I've heard of testosterone, and I've heard of estrogen. I thought, well, I guess there's two hormones floating around. No, there's 150. And every one of those hormones controls some body function. Some body function is controlled by each and every one of those different hormones. Now, you know, there's more than 150 of those hormones. Now, your adrenals produce or contribute to the production of about 150 hormones, every one of which is vitally important to health and wellness. Some of these hormones manage your blood pressure, others manage stress, and all of this activity is accomplished by two glands smaller than your thumbs sitting on top of your kidneys. Now, in Chapter 3 and Chapter 4, I presented the scenario of adrenal stress resulting from the strains, burdens, and anxieties of modern life combined with the biochemical stress of caffeine. And I described a downward spiral where the adrenals become exhausted and everyday problems then seem magnified out of proportion. Well, that's because the adrenals are responsible for maintaining homeostasis. That's the metabolic and emotional balance during times of stress. Now, once the adrenal buffer is gone, you are constantly living on the edge of a breakdown. Your emotional resilience is reduced to a continual effort to cope. Plus, you become a prime candidate for asthma, allergy, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and the autoimmune disorders discussed in this chapter. So imagine if you had to live in a constant state of emergency alert. It would be exhausting. It would be exhausting in the same way that the adrenal glands designed for episodes of stress, that's emergencies, in which tremendous energy is needed to fight or run away, the fight or flight instinct. And they find themselves in a situation where heightened activity is required all of the time. And it's not just job stress. It's metabolic stress from poor food choices, pollution, and electromagnetic radiation. It's a pace of 20th century living and the breakdown of family, support groups, and the community. And on top of all of that, most people add caffeine, a drug that elevates stress hormones and can keep them elevated 18 hours a day. And for your poor adrenals, there's just no rest. So let's take a look at adrenal function. Until recently, no one bothered to look much at the adrenal glands. Even today, most doctors are only aware of two tests to evaluate adrenal function. One test for Addison's disease tells you if your adrenals are completely shot, and the other for Cushing's syndrome tells you if your adrenals are in hyperdrive, most often from an adrenal tumor. Between these two extremes, there's nothing that your doctor can tell you other than that you appear to be normal. Now, all of that is starting to change as researchers discover adrenal factors in a wide range of health disorders. It turns out that the hormone balance maintained by the adrenal glands is much more fragile than we had originally thought. This section will discuss what I call the adrenal dysfunction disorders. And as you will see, adrenal weakness or adrenal insufficiency is the common factor that contributes to a number of serious health disorders. And now the effect of caffeine on the adrenals is finally coming to light. The caffeine connection has been hidden by the fact that treatment for adrenal dysfunction disorders tends to be short-sighted and one-dimensional. So as I have explained before, understanding the health effects of caffeine requires a long view, perhaps encompassing most of your life. And from that long-term view, a two-phase phenomenon is revealed. First of all, it's called the joyride. Phase one is what I call the honeymoon phase of caffeine consumption. This phase lays the groundwork for long-term caffeine-related damage to your mind and body. Ever-increasing levels of stress hormones course through your veins, stressing your adrenals to the maximum. But for the present, you actually experience some beneficial effects from caffeine consumption. Caffeine can even seem like the answer to one or more of your health problems. So here's a good illustration. In the current caffeine mania that is sweeping America, even health food manufacturers and retailers have jumped on the bandwagon. Recently, articles have appeared in health food magazines talking about the benefits of organic coffee. Some articles have discussed its mood-elevating effects. Others imply that it is an aid to weight management. And a few of these ads even extol the drink as a natural treatment for asthma. Now, all of these benefits are real, at least to some extent, but only in phase one. And we have already discussed how caffeine ultimately leads to depression. Its weight loss value is similar to that of amphetamines, both in terms of temporary appetite suppression and ultimate side effects. And asthma? Well, caffeine can indeed reduce the symptoms of asthma, at least temporarily. And then, in phase two, it makes them worse. And that's why the long-term view is so important. First of all, you should remember why caffeine has these temporary beneficial effects. It's all part of the stress response. It's the ancient survival mechanism that enabled us to survive in times of imminent danger. The increased respiratory efficacy that caffeine provides is purely a phase one phenomenon. Adrenal hormones are poured out to dilate the bronchial airways in order to send more oxygen to your muscles. But does that make caffeine a sensible treatment for asthma? So read the next section before you decide. In phase two, it's time to pay the piper. And habitual caffeine has ultimately, and its use ultimately leads to phase two, and what has been called adrenal insufficiency or adrenal exhaustion. Let me pause right here. Now notice that this author here is one that recommends total abstention from caffeine. I liken that to the preachers, you know, who recommend total abstention from alcohol. Alcohol is a stimulant and it is a depressant. Alcohol is good in small quantities, it's bad in large quantities. Notice here he points out that caffeine in the initial phase, that's the small quantities when you first start on it, has beneficial effects. And then, as you continue on it, or you abuse it, you use too much of it, it develops into a downer, just like alcohol does. When you use too much of it, it destroys your liver and ultimately kills you. Caffeine works the same way. too much of it is too much. And so it brings us back to the subjective question of, well, how much is enough? See? Now, here's one of the things that we discover in the Bible. God does not tell you how much to drink. He doesn't come in here and say, if you drink 4 ounces of alcohol, that's good, but if you drink 6 ounces, you're going straight to hell. And that's because different people have different tolerances for these different herbs, different substances. And because we have these different capabilities, I told you about an old buddy of mine, he could drink 16 highballs between 9 o'clock and closing time at the bar. 16. Then go out, get behind the wheel, and drive home. And I said, I'd rather drive home with Darwin drunk than most people sober. He had one whale of tolerance for booze. Way more than I had. Way more than any normal man would have. But that didn't make the alcohol good for Darwin. The ultimate end was cirrhosis of the liver and death. And the same thing is true here with caffeine. The same thing is true with any stimulant, any depressant, any herb, any food. Did you know that the scripture admonishes you not to be a glutton, for no glutton shall inherit the kingdom of heaven? You know, all of us have to eat. We've mentioned gout from time to time. Gout is a condition that is developed by or exacerbated by excessive protein intake. I've experienced it. You butcher a cow out here or a steer, and you bring it in, and boy, it really tastes good, and give me another steak, and let's have another roast. And pretty soon, you've consumed so much protein in 2 or 3 weeks after this fresh kill over here that your body develops gout. And boy, is that painful. Now, all you have to do to cure it is quit eating meat for about 7 days, and it'll go away. I don't have to go to the doctor and take drugs and suffer from side effects or anything else. I don't have to spend any extra money. All I have to do is just stop poisoning myself with protein. That's what gout is. It's just protein poisoning. You just consume too much. Protein's good for you. Most people in the world are suffering from protein deficiency. But you know, here in the Western world, we've got gout. We've got obesity. We've got fat people because we've turned to gluttony. We simply eat too much and too much of the wrong things. Now, the paying of the piper, when it comes to your adrenal glands over here, is pretty serious stuff because your body is controlled by these hormones. The hormones are kind of like switches in your electric system in your car. You flip on the switch and you get air conditioning. You know, you flip on the switch, you get the heater. You flip off the switch, the air conditioning goes off, the heater goes off. Those switches control the activities of the various components in your car. These hormones are doing the same thing in your body. And you've got these two little glands called the adrenal glands over here, which can be adversely affected by excessive caffeine stimulation. A little bit's good. A lot is bad. And it gets worse than that. Many of these diseases that people call to law school and they say, oh, I've got this terrible disease, I've got these terrible symptoms over here. And I usually tell people, well, number one, I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to give you any medical information or medical advice here. And that's because oftentimes the medical association, you know, they'll call here to the law school to see if they can entrap me into giving medical advice so that they can prosecute me criminally and put me in jail. They don't like me on the air telling these secrets of the medical and pharmaceutical professions. Legal people do that also. We get calls here at the law school, and some guy will say, well, I need some legal advice, Mr. Gordon. I listen to your radio program, and God, I just really, really, really need your legal advice. So I have to caution them. Oh, wait a minute, hang on here, partner. This is a law school. This is not a law firm, and I can't give you any legal advice. It's against the law. You see, the legislature has created a monopoly called the legal profession. They've created a monopoly called the medical profession. And you lay people out there are wards of the state. You know, it's about like me going into a mental hospital and starting to tell all these mental patients in here the answers to their medical problems, and I can't do that. There's a line drawn here in the sand. So we can give you information, but we can't give you advice. So we have to be cautious, you know, about that. Now, without giving you any medical advice over here, and then, of course, there's always these caveats, you know, that you read in the book that says, well, we're not giving any medical advice here, and you better go see your doctor. I'm going to go a step further and say, why would you want to go see your doctor? He doesn't know the answer. Hell, if he knew the answer, he wouldn't be prescribing drugs. A drug, after all, is a poison. And a drug, the poison, may counteract a symptom. No doubt about that. But the poison itself has an effect. And oftentimes, people's effects from the drugs they're taking are worse than the symptoms they're suffering from the underlying cause. So people that get to be 65 years old, they're not on 6 drugs accidentally. Their doctors are prescribing drugs to solve the problems that the drugs have caused while trying to solve the problem that was caused by something like caffeine, alcohol, or some other toxic substance in the body. Now, when you have cirrhosis of the liver, think about it for a minute. Your liver is overtaxed and it develops a condition. It can't handle its workload and you develop cirrhosis of the liver. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, what you need is a liver transplant. Does the doctor ever say to you, well, now here's what causes this cirrhosis of the liver? You're consuming so much alcohol that your liver is consumed 24/7 in detoxifying your body of the alcohol. Therefore, it doesn't have time to do its other functions over there. Therefore, it's breaking down and it's becoming diseased. Ultimately, this is going to fail, and then when your liver fails, you're going to die, like Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle, remember, he had cirrhosis. Well, he drank. He was drinking booze. Now the preacher comes along, and he says, see, don't drink. Well, okay, that's even got some wisdom attached to it. Mickey Mantle couldn't control his alcohol consumption, so he destroyed his liver, so then he needed somebody else's liver. Excuse me, boys and girls, but we all have one liver. So if I destroy my liver, and I go out into the marketplace, and I need somebody else's liver, that means that somebody else out there has to give his life to give me his liver, because he cannot live without his liver. So if I'm going to take your liver, Bob, that means you have to die. Can you add, boys and girls? Zol, was that guy, you know, can you say that, boys and girls? I forgot his name now. He's on Sesame Street, but he had his own program here. He was a kid's program director, host. And he used to say, now, can you say that, boys and girls? Well, it's kind of simplistic, you know, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty. When we're 5 years old, I think we've got more common sense than when we get to be 35 or 55. Now, I'm not suggesting that you have to give up alcohol or that you have to give up caffeine, but you have to give up the excesses if you want to continue to live. Now, that's not medical advice. So throughout this book, I've talked about the myriad effects of caffeine-induced excess stress hormone production, from constricted arteries and elevated blood pressure to immune suppression and stomach ulcers. But this is only half the story. Caffeine intake continues, and the adrenals get weaker and weaker. A new set of problems arise that are related to stress hormone insufficiency. So after a certain point, your adrenals are so exhausted that the pendulum swings in the opposite direction, and that's when you become most vulnerable to a whole new group of problems associated with adrenal exhaustion. Namely, disorders related to inflammation and autoimmune diseases, and among them allergies, asthma, inflammation of the bronchial airways, and even rheumatoid arthritis. So I'll pause right here, put a bracket around that. Did you hear those symptoms over here? Now, those aren't necessarily caused by caffeine, but they're exacerbated by it. So let's suppose you've got inflammation and autoimmune disease. A guy called me one time, said, my wife's got lupus. Lupus, that's an autoimmune disease. Your body is attacking your body. What causes that? Your adrenal glands aren't working correctly. Now, I suppose you can destroy your adrenal glands just like you can destroy your pancreas, and you can't produce any more insulin, fortunately. The pharmaceutical industry comes along with a Band-Aid, and they say, well, we can make, synthesize, and sell you insulin. And that's what your pancreas is producing. So instead of your body, now think about this, your pancreas is working right now. If you eat something, your blood sugar rises. You got to moderate that so your pancreas sends a little shot of insulin. Does it automatically. It's like flying an airplane on autopilot. It automatically makes course corrections and headings, and keeps the wings level, and keeps the attitude correct. God, just a marvelous invention. Now, when the automatic pilot becomes defective, it's not working correctly. Can't maintain your heading, can't maintain your attitude. You don't know if you're in a dive or you're in a pitch up, and so, you know, then you got to take over control manually. Now, flying the airplane manually isn't the end of the world. I mean, you can spend your time sticking your fingers, you know, and taking some blood out and sampling the blood to see whether or not you need a shot of insulin. And that, you see people doing that all the time. Do you really want to spend your time operating your body manually, or do you like the automatic pilots? Frankly, I kind of like the pancreas operating on automatic pilot. And I kind of like the adrenal glands over here operating on automatic pilot, because there's 150 of these hormones that are coursing around in my body. Can you imagine the amount of time that it would take for you to manually test for 150 of these hormones and then say, oh my God, I'm short of testosterone. Let me give myself a hypodermic shot of testosterone. Oh my God, I'm a little short of insulin. Let me shoot up with a little insulin over here. Oops, now I'm short of a little estrogen, so let me shoot up with a little estrogen. I mean, and then multiply that times 150. I mean, isn't there anything else in life to do but to sit around testing your blood and shooting up? I was watching a guy the other day. He's full of worms, came back from China, and we counted him up. He's on 17 herbs right now, 17 pills he's taking, plus he's got a homeopathic that he's rubbing on his liver. That's to kill the worms that he picked up over in the Far East. Now, he's working manually right now, and it takes him about an hour a day. He works three times a day. It takes him about, you know, 15, 20 minutes, three times a day to go through all these pills. He's on manual because his automatic system isn't working. Now, he hopes to get back to the point where he can get back on automatic pilot, and his body organs are operating automatically. You know, you go out and you work, and you work up a sweat. And what's happening here, your body automatically starts to perspire to cool your body off because it's too hot. Can you imagine where you'd be if you had to constantly take your temperature and say, oh, wait a minute, my temperature is now above 98, it's up to 99 or 100, so therefore I've got to pour some water all over my skin here to cool myself off. Isn't it kind of neat that you can tank up? You know, you can sit here, drink a quart of water, and your body will automatically, on automatic pilot, put out the right amount of perspiration to cool your body, to keep it at the right temperature. That's a function of your adrenal glands. Now, you know, if you want to screw up your adrenal glands, I mean, you can get to the point where you can be taking your temperature constantly. You can be testing for all of these 150 hormones and then shooting them up from the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, that's good business for the pharmacist over here. It's good business for GlaxoSmithKline, but is that really what you want to do, and is that really good for you? I just thought I'd throw that out. You know, your body is a pretty neat machine. If you took care of it, it'd work a lot better, and then you'd get better service out of it. And let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that website is georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed to the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And there are now more than 2,500 of these programs archived. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors and publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate, and that's because these authors and publications, or at least many of them, that we cite here on The Law Hour, they may be political or hostile or religious or economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by The Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers or sponsors or the management or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about The Law Hour and Editorial Review, come to us direct at our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us at 417-273-4967. Okay, now we're talking about caffeine. The most authoritative book I think that I've ever read on the subject of caffeine is this book called Caffeine Blues, Wake Up to the Hidden Dangers of America's Number One Drug by Stephen Chernyshyn. Now, as a teaser here, I said there's three blockbuster pieces of information that I've shared with you from the book. There's many more of these blockbusters, about 20 of them. So I don't want to become anticlimactic, and I don't want to dissuade sales of the man's book, and although I think the book is a dirt cheap. It's paperback. I can't imagine it being over $20. If it was $100, I would have paid $100 for this piece of information that was contained in the section that deals with men's reproductive organs. And one of the stories I related this to you last time, I'll do it one more time, that is that caffeine restricts your blood flow by 1/3. And then we go to the druggist, or we go to the doctor, and we say, we are suffering from penile erection dysfunction, and I need you to sell me some Viagra, doc. And so we spend money doing that, which we have done to ourselves. The first thing you did was you drank the caffeine, you constricted your arteries, and now you can't perform sexually. Now you go to the doctor. He gives you Viagra, which now expands. It loosens up your blood vessels so that now you can get an erection, boys. Now what in the hell kind of sense does that make? Well, it's a choice that you've got to make. So I guess on the one hand, you wire up with caffeine, and then you loosen up with Viagra. I guess if that's what you want to do, you know, get after it. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And especially since we take a look at the adrenals. Now, watch what happens with these adrenal glands. You can burn them out. And hey, kids, when you burn them out, they're burned out. Now, maybe you can rejuvenate them. There's a guy by the name of Richard Schultz. You might want to write this name and number down. I don't have his number, but get his name down. Richard Schultz, S. Schultz, I believe it is. Or maybe there's no T in it. Maybe it's just ULZ, Schultz. He's out in California. And he's called herbdoctor.com. So it's herbdoctor.com, herbdoctor.com. I think you can, if I remember right, that's his web page. He studied under Dr. Christopher. Dr. Christopher was, I think, recognized by just about everybody as being the preeminent authority on herbs and herbal remedies. That's not to say that there isn't anybody else out there that knows something about herbs. It's just that Dr. Christopher marketed and merchandised it and made it popular, and he sold it, and he taught school, and he trained people, and Schultz was one of his students. Well, anyway, Schultz has herbal remedies. He sells these herbs. I mean, that's his business in life, is selling herbs. And he made a pretty perfunctory statement here in one of his publications. He said he does not buy his herbs any longer from overseas sources because the herbs are being grown with chemicals, and they've lost their efficacy. And he says, in addition to that, to import them into the United States, they are routinely now irradiating them, which makes them totally useless. So if you have been trying to use herbs and they don't work, the reason they don't work is they're probably coming in from overseas. If you're an herbalist and you're buying these herbs, you need to know where they're coming from. Now, one company that does not irradiate is called Frontier. So if you want spices and herbs, you get them from Frontier. I don't know, for Frontier Spices or whatever the name of their company is. Plug it into Google and I think you'll find Frontier. That's what we buy here at the law school. And it's because of the irradiation. It's because of the growing of these herbs with chemical fertilizers and sprays, which just nullifies their medicinal benefits. Well, Schultz is the guy that clued me in on that. I didn't know. You know, I just go down to the health food store and buy some herbs. And that's what most of us do. We just go down to Wild Oats and buy some herbs. But, you know, the big companies, you know, like Wild Oats and these Tree of Life and other companies, you know, which were started by people that were sincere and that meant that were interested in people's health, have been bought out by Kellogg's and Kraft and the multinational corporations whose bottom line is money. They don't give a rat's rectum about whether or not this herb has been irradiated. You know, to the average corporate mind, you know, the average guy that comes out of the Harvard Business School, an herb is an herb is an herb. And irradiation is probably better for it. Unfortunately, that isn't the truth, and that isn't the way that works. And so pharmaceuticals, you know, guys that go to pharmaceutical school and they become druggists, you know, a drug is a drug is a drug is a drug. And all drugs are good for you because that's what we learned in pharmacy school. But, you know, that isn't true. It's a lie, and it's a debilitating lie, and it kills a lot of people in the process. And I've reported on that more than once. So if you're looking for it and you need some herbs, and you're going to need some herbs if you're going to get off caffeine, because as this guy points out in his chapter, Getting Off the Bean over here, he says you're going to have withdrawal symptoms, kids. You know, you're going to have withdrawal symptoms like getting off of nicotine or heroin. And I thought that was quite a little revelation. Now, if you're a nicotine addict and you kick the habit like I did, you know that's not easy. That's tough. That does not feel good at all. But if you don't, then the alternative is the destruction of your adrenals. And when you destroy your adrenal glands over here, these 150 hormones over here are no longer being directed to the right place to do the right function. And at some point in time, you die as a result of it. Meanwhile, you have a lot of real bad experiences as you are debilitated from lack of hormones. Now, if there's anybody that can rebuild your adrenals, it would be Dr. Schultz with his herbal remedies. So if you've got adrenal problems, you might want to talk to Schultz to see whether or not if there's a solution. There is a solution in most cases for diabetes. In spite of what your medical doctor told you, that diabetes is incurable, that's not 100% correct. As a general rule, that's true. And one of the first things they do is they get you in the doctor's office and they start shooting you up with insulin to make you dependent on insulin so that your pancreas will shut down, which will turn you into a diabetic. And after all, it's nothing personal. Just business is business. And we would rather sell you the adrenaline than for you to produce it free. But I would suggest that you think about that gland that produces that insulin. That's automatic pilot, and it's a hell of a lot more convenient. And your adrenal glands are a hell of a lot more convenient than taking your temperature every hour and pouring water on yourself. That automatic perspiration just seems to work real good. So when God got through with his creation and he said, and he looked at it and he said, it was good. He wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Going on. Consider this. We all know that adrenal hormones play a major role in the management of inflammation. For example, prednisone is a synthetic adrenal hormone that is used to reduce inflammation in a wide variety of illnesses. Adrenal hormones also help regulate the immune system, preventing immune cells from attacking healthy tissue. Rheumatoid arthritis has both an inflammatory and an immune system component. Recent research has shown that laboratory rats bred to have insufficient adrenal hormone production develop rheumatoid arthritis far more frequently than normal rats. And it's also known that people with an adrenal disorder, known as Cushing's disease, are at high risk for depression, fatigue, and rheumatoid arthritis. All right, now let's suppose you're suffering from depression, fatigue, or rheumatoid arthritis. What's the problem, children? Okay, what you have here is an adrenal malfunction. Can you figure that out? I'm not talking rocket science now. Now you go to the medical doctor, he says, okay, well, we got this synthetic hormone. Okay, is that what you want to do? You want to shoot up with this synthetic hormone every day? Or would you like to get your adrenals back to operating on automatic pilot again? All right, now, let me give you a pitch. The book here, Caffeine Blues, which I can only cover, 30 pages out of 450? Maybe 1%? Maybe I can share with you a couple of three real shocking pieces of information. Caffeine destroys enough of your sperm that you'll turn out 83% female offspring if you've got a caffeine imbalance. You know, that may not be too important. I had some girls, and I'm not opposed to having girl babies. But you might want one or two boys. And just the knowledge that came out of this book, just that one fact, I think was worth $100. I would have paid $100 to learn that one fact. That came out of a scientific study. Hell, it wasn't even the author that figured it out. What he did was he went back into the archives of all of the studies that have been done on caffeine, and he pulled out this study. He says, wow, look at this. I'll write up a book, and I'll put this over here on page 202, and I'll explain to people that caffeine will interfere with your sperm count. It'll interfere with the male-female reproductive cycle in men. And you will produce 83% females and 17% males when your caffeine intake is excessive. I thought that was worth $100 to know. Listen, he's got a whole bunch of other neat facts and figures. And this adrenal story in here is one of those. Did you know that your adrenals control 150 hormones? Hell, I couldn't even name 150. Boys and girls, I couldn't name 10 hormones off the top of my head. Testosterone, I know. Estrogen, I know. All right, now that we know those two, name the other 148. And those 148 hormones in there regulate every aspect of your body's function, including your perspiration rate, heartbeat, pulse, blood pressure. And that's what we got out of the book called Caffeine Blues. And these are authoritative stories from scientific tests conducted over about 50 years. And there's about 1,000 of these tests. The footnotes in here will just drive you nuts. I mean, if you think the guy's lying to you, go look him up. Now, we didn't check every one of these footnotes. Obviously, I'm not going to go through 450 pages and proofread and then go out here and prove it. I'm not that concerned about it. But we spent a little time here looking at the facts and figures, and we took them at random, kind of like a Nielsen survey. We don't go into every living room in America to see what you're watching on TV. So what we do is we take a sampling. We go out here and we sample 1,500 houses, and we write down the TV channel that they're watching it at the hour they're watching it. And so we can pretty well determine, based upon a sampling of 1,500 households nationwide, as to what the people of America are watching between 7 and 8 o'clock on Tuesday nights. That's the way we work here at the law school. We take a sampling over here. Let's take 5 facts that this guy has cited, and let's look up those 5 facts and see if there's anybody else that corroborates those. And if we find that this guy is giving us the straight skinny over here, we can then conclude there's probably some errors here in the book. And almost invariably, I'll review a book, and some guy will call me up, or he'll send me an email, and he'll say, don't you know that that guy is the stupidest fool that God ever put breath into, and that he cited this or that over here, and that's patently false? And I'll say, no, I didn't know that that was patently false, and I'm glad that you called me and told me that page 207 has this lie on it, this incorrect piece of information over here. But excuse me, boys and girls, but let's think about this pragmatically. Guy writes 450 pages. Would you expect that at 450 pages that he did not make a single mistake, and that every single statement in here is 100% true, accurate, and correct, and approved by God Almighty himself and 5 angels as witnesses? Now, reasonable, I think, is reasonable, and intelligent is intelligent, but sometimes, I think we go a little overboard. It kind of reminds me of the Baptist, that says, alcohol has never touched my lips. They're a little more righteous than God himself. Alcohol touched God's lips, and he said that it was pretty good stuff. And Dr. Sansoni told me that this heroin is pretty good stuff. Now, they don't sell heroin in the hospital. They sell morphine in the hospital. And caffeine is pretty good stuff. It is so good that the major manufacturers of America are sticking it in your food products to addict you to it. They know how good it is. Now, in the process of addicting you to the caffeine, if we didn't have somebody come along and say, hey, listen, now, let me advise you that this caffeine over here, good stuff that it is, you know, an herb approved by God Almighty himself. He thought you could handle it. Unfortunately, most people cannot handle caffeine, at least not in the quantities and in the modalities that's being delivered to us. I mean, these guys are delivering caffeine to us, kids. We don't even know what it is. You know, and so to cite Mr. Rogers again, you know, can you say caffeine, boys and girls? Can you say adrenal glands, boys and girls? Can you say sperm count, boys and girls? And, you know, come on, there's some adverse effects that are coming out of this. Now, a lot of people are a little timid, especially to come over the air or to come up and say, hey, let me tell you what the problem is, because it's construed as being practicing law without a license, or it's practicing medicine without a license. And you've got to be careful. You know, that's where reality is located. So, bottom line is, there's limits to your body's ability. There's limits to what you can assimilate in your body. Caffeine has its limits. It's good stuff, but it's got a limit. Food is good stuff, but obesity caused by gluttony is bad stuff. Alcoholism and cirrhosis of the liver is bad stuff. Alcohol, per se, isn't. It's the quantity, it's the misuse, and it's the abuse of it that's the problem. Then it's compounded by your government itself. Now the government comes out here and says the only person who can give you this kind of advice is a medical doctor. Hell, the medical doctors don't know this. I would suspect that more medical doctors would alert their patients to the problems with caffeine if they themselves knew about it. The pharmaceutical companies aren't telling the doctors. The medical schools aren't telling the doctors. The doctors aren't telling their patients. The executive at the Folgers company, do you think that he's deliberately running around sticking caffeine in his coffee because he wants to addict you to the coffee, because he wants to destroy your fetus's pancreas cells so that your child will develop diabetes when he's 7 or 8 years old? There's not a conscious effort on the part of any of these actors to accomplish that goal. I don't believe that. But that is exactly the goal that's being achieved through the actions of the coffee maker, through the actions of the doctor, the pharmaceutical company, the lawyers and the medical professionals, the pharmaceutical companies, the druggists, all of these actors acting in concert together, just doing their thing. The doctor's just doing his thing every day, day in and day out. The Folgers executive, he's just doing his thing day in and day out. The lawyer, the politician, the government regulator, the FDA, just going to work every day, doing their thing, has a cumulative effect on all of us every day. And we don't know what that cumulative effect is because nobody ever told us. So now we have an opportunity to find out what that cumulative effect is. Now, thousands of researchers over many, many years, over 50 years, have done many, many studies, and they've published their studies. These are studies published in the British Medical Journal or in the American Medical Association Journal or in studies from the Harvard Medical School or this or that other research institution. And this author has taken the time to go look those up, footnote them, and then write a book and describe these effects. So I come along, I pick up the book, and I say, geez, this is pretty important. Let me review this. Let me alert these listeners, you out there in Radio Land, to this problem of caffeine. And again, let me emphasize, I think that this author here, his conclusion is, like the Baptist preacher, since alcohol causes in many people a debilitating effect called cirrhosis of the liver, you should never drink alcohol. If we carried that to its extreme, we'd say, because many people eat too much and become obese, we should all stop eating. Now, you know, we can't stop eating. We can stop drinking alcohol. We can stop consuming caffeine, but I think that it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Caffeine, when God finished his creation, he said, hey, he looked at it and he said, hey, this is pretty good. The blood root is pretty good. We need blood root to cure cancer. You know, when you violated certain laws and you have a tumor, you have a cancer in your body, you need to get rid of it. The doctor comes along and says, well, hey, pay me $5,000 and I'll cut it out. Well, that's pretty good. What if you can't cut it out? Well, then we don't know what else to do. We've got cut, burn, and poison, and that's our limit. And our limit is prescribed by law. Wait a minute, boys and girls, there's 10 cures to cancer. 10. 8 of them were discovered by allopathic medical doctors, for crying out loud, and they can't use them because it's against the law. Again, money gets in the way of good medicine. Money gets in the way of good law. Money gets in the way of good common sense. That's why I recommended the book. It's called Caffeine Blues. Don't forget it. And it's Stephen Cherniske, Chernyske. If the book cost you $100, it would be well worth it. Cheap. Just from what I've told you so far, and I've only scratched the surface. This adrenal story over here, as it gets into fibromyalgia, asthma, allergies, I mean, it tells a hell of a story. And the story that it tells you is that all of these ailments are caused by you. You stuck it right into your mouth. Your fat, every pound on your body went right through your lips. Nobody stuck it on you in the middle of the night. Nobody snuck in unawares over here. Nobody stuck a gun to your head. Made you eat it. And of course, we get fat, and then we need a diet pill. You know, some guy comes along and says, "Hey, take this pill. Hey, take this diet over here. Boy, it works miracles." And the only thing that takes weight off of you is less calories. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's where reality's at. And if this diet over here tastes good too, you can probably lose weight doing that diet over there. But then, you know, all these diets and all these diet products over here are about as phony as $3 bills. I say all of them, most of them. And your body's out of balance. I've mentioned this to you a time or two before. The thing that shuts off your hunger pangs are the minerals in the food. And boys and girls, when you're eating empty calories without vitamins and minerals, your stomach says, "More, more. I didn't get any iron in that." And so you eat more and more. Your body's still looking for iron, potassium. You can't get it from potato chips. And so you eat more and more potato chips, trying to get more and more iron. How the hell can you get iron, potassium, and manganese out of potato chips if it's not in the product? That's the bottom line. Can't get out what isn't there. So you eat more and more calories, you get fatter and fatter. Solution is you got to eat nutritious food. You got to eat more Brussels sprouts and fewer York peppermint patties. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, if God had his head screwed on straight, he would have made broccoli taste like Hershey bars, and we wouldn't have near as much sickness. And I'm about out of time again. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here, and we'll take it up and finish the story next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review concerning caffeine. Let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time is up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.